Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Hope Church, how are we doing this morning? It might be outside, but it's not gloomy in here, and actually bright. I think this is the first time I've actually seen all your faces. I've been up here. Like, I normally can't see you guys because it's so dark, but I am excited about this morning. How about that birthday celebration last week? How many were here last week in our eighth birthday party? Yeah. How many got a stone? Did you get a stone last week? So a stone is a stone, right? But this stone was so symbolic and reflective of what God has done in this church for 8 years. I haven't been here for all 8 years. I think that's one of the reasons why I was so moved last week, just listening to Pastor S and Diana just talk about, recollect what God has done over the past few years. And I think what's important about stones, and particularly, obviously, they mentioned about its meaning in the Bible and the stones, particularly in the life of Israel. But this stone, and I hope you guys took one, this stone is not only a moment that we get to reflect upon what was, but this stone represents a prophetic move of God for what he's about to do, not just in the next 8 years, but in the next season of God. How many believe that God still moves? How many believe that God is gonna continue to move in this church? And so this stone is one of those things where it reminds us of the stories that have come before us. Some of you have been a part of all those stories. Like, we often mention how Maggie's been here since day one, pretty much day one, right? So Maggie could tell you all the stories. And the stories of what God has done in 8 years really provide shape for the next generation of what God's going to do here at Hope Church. So I was just so pumped about that. I don't know if it's just because I like history. And I like prophecy, but they're kind of both woven into one when we talk about stones. So, but I'm here, and we're going to start a new series called Names. And as you've been listening to all the songs and singing along with us, all of the songs that we sang this morning are about the names of God. And the names of God are so powerful. I read a book one time that said that God, there's actually enough names for every day of the year. There's 365 days. There's 365 expressions of God's names, and I love that, because inevitably, as we go through life, there's times when, like, when you're struggling, you know, in a season of your life, and it's feeling chaotic and confusing and complicated, and you can call on God as Jehovah Shalom, your Prince of Peace. That's incredible. You need that, and it seems like God has an expression for himself for whatever we're going through in life, right? If you're feeling like, you know, you're short on finances or just you need something just from a provision standpoint, and you can call on God to be your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. So God has something for every person in this room as it pertains to his names. And so I want to read a passage of scripture first, and we're going to come back to this in a moment, but I want to read Exodus chapter 3. I love the book of Exodus. I love this story. This is actually... There's so much packed in here, but one of the most significant parts of this story is this is the account that God will reveal his name for the first time. So if you know your Bible, there's been a lot of years that have come before this point, a lot of events, a lot of interactions that God's had with people, but he's never told anybody his name until this particular moment. We're reading from Exodus chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 10, and it reads like this. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested God. Anybody out there ever protested God before? Yeah, not a lot of hands going up, but I know every single one of you have, right? Yeah, we all have. Moses is protesting to God. And he says, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Verse 12 says, God answered and said, I will be with you. Notice he didn't answer the question. He just said, I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. Verse 13. But Moses protested, If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? Verse 14, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Last verse, God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for how you've already spoken to us in worship. As we've lifted up our praises to you, God, your word says that you inhabit, you live in the midst of your praises. And so, God, we believe you now for an even deeper encounter in your word. We thank you that your word brings life. We thank you that your word is truth. And we also agree, God, that now you're going to provide wisdom that we need to live our lives in a way that glorifies you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I always like to read the Bible before I preach because at least if I blow it, we read the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Like, inevitably, there's not really any power in my words, but there's a lot of power in the Bible. So I'm like, let's read the Bible, and then you guys can have a good day no matter what. You can have a good day no matter what because the Bible has been proclaimed. But we're here talking about names and the names of God in specific. And names are really important in general. Names are a way of identifying people. But names also, especially in the Bible, have a way of revealing who a person is, like who they really are. So that names at least provide a baseline of like learning about somebody. But if you really kind of dig in deep to the name and specifically the names of God, the names of God will tell us about his character. The names of God will tell us about his identity. And the names of God will tell us about why he does what he does. Now, how many know there's a lot of people in the world who have opinions about God? There's a lot of people who think they know something or the other about God. And actually, I've encountered a lot of people who know that God exists, but they don't know God, right? They know him kind of impersonally. They know him as God, but that's about it. Like, they've come to the conclusion that there's something or someone out there that's more bigger and transcendent than themselves, but they don't really know him, like, relationally and personally. And names are the way that we get to know God. So here's the cool thing, and I really want you to hear this morning. Hear it with the ears of your heart, not just your physical ears. God has not left his identity to mystery. Like, there doesn't need to be any, like, wondering about who God is. If people don't know who God is, it's just simply because they've actually never studied the scriptures. They've never read the scriptures and invited the Holy Spirit to say, this is who I am, because the Bible... The best way to describe the Bible is Bible. The Bible is God's voice concerning himself. It's God's self-disclosure. God is not an introvert. He wants you to know who he is. He absolutely does. And he has not left it up to suspicion or doubt. He gives us 66 books, 2 testaments, and he says, this is who I am. And so as we go through the names of God in this series, you're going to learn a little bit about who God is, because that's God's highest desire. Now, how many know in our culture, we do names a little differently in our culture than they did in the Bible times? Like, I don't know about you, maybe you could kind of like protest me on this one, all right? But most people in our culture, tell your neighbor, say most, he's not talking about you, all right? Most people choose names because they're cool. Like, it's cool. It's like you're in a coffee shop and you're drinking a latte, vanilla latte, Maggie? Matcha, Nicole? Okay, all right. Neither one of them are good options. You're just drinking coffee, just drinking regular hot coffee, okay? Dark roast preferably, but anyway. So, but it's like you're sitting in a coffee shop and you're looking at the menu list and you're like, oh, that would make a good name. Like, that's our culture. It doesn't carry the significance or the detail or the depth like it does in the Bible. Like, if you've noticed this in the Bible, when they name their children, or in some cases where God names people, he's naming them in anticipation for what the story of their life is going to eventually come out to be. It's prophetic. It's thinking about substance and character It's very, very significant. And maybe that's not you. Maybe you were like, no, we really saw the meaning behind the name more than how it's spelled or whether it's cool or not. But by and large, you guys would be the exception to our culture. It's just different, right? It's just different. But we know people by their names. Let me give you a little illustration. If I were to say to you, trying to describe myself, and I said, you know, there's this human, right? How many could determine that's who I am based upon that description? You know, there's this human. That's silly, right? Well, watch this. Courtney, put up the name Elohim. When we call God Elohim, and this isn't like a lesser name, it's just different. Elohim, in your Bibles, when you read your Bibles, every time the Bible says G-O-D, God, behind that in the original language is the Hebrew word Elohim. And Elohim is very impersonal. It doesn't give you any detail. It doesn't describe anything. It's just God is a spiritual being. He's not a human. That's all Elohim means, right? So if you were to say about me, hey, he's a human, nobody could figure out that you're talking about me because that's just describing the classification of my being. It's the same way when we say God. I mean, there's 8 billion people on the earth, and a lot of people have versions of God. So when they say God, it doesn't mean that they're talking about the same thing you and I are talking about when we're talking about the God of the Bible or the God who was revealed in Jesus Christ. Are you following me? So Elohim's good, just like human's good, but we've narrowed it down to 1 in 8 billion. So I don't think you can figure out who it was. But what if I said this? What if I said, you know, there's this guy named Chris. Are we getting closer? Are some of you thinking about me? Yeah, but what's the problem with that? There's another Chris in the room. Come on, raise your hand. There he is, right there. So if I just said, you know that guy Chris, you don't know if you're talking about Chris Schistler or you're talking about me. Okay? Now, God has another name that's a little bit more descriptive. It's kind of like Chris, but nothing like Chris. It's the Hebrew word Adonai. It's the word Adonai. We just sang about it. Now, Adonai, if you're reading your Bible, you're not going to read Adonai. If you're reading your Bible, every time you see the name Lord, but lowercased. So you Bible nerds can make a note of this. It's L-O-R-D, but it's lowercase. That's the Hebrew word Adonai. And Adonai means Lord or Master. So, again, we're getting closer, but we still don't know a lot about God. We don't know him personally. We don't know him really. We don't know what he's like. We don't know why he does what he does. We don't know any of that stuff, right? So back to me. So you might not know it's me if I just say, hey, there's this guy, Chris. But what if I said this? There's this guy. His name is Chris Romano. He's bald. He's married to a really hot woman named Tara. He's got children by the names of Samuel, Hannah, Caleb, Abby, and Ari. He's a big Eagles fan. He likes peanut butter anything, and he really likes coffee. Like, how many could say, okay, I know who they're talking about now. I've given you detail. I've even told you a little bit about my story, and that's what the name Jehovah is, or the name Yahweh, just so we're not confused. Yahweh and Jehovah are pretty much the same. Yahweh is Hebrew. Jehovah is how they eventually translate it into English. And so in this story, when God reveals himself to Moses, for the first time in history, he's going to say, this is my name. This is my eternal name. This is the name that I'm going to be known for throughout all generations, Yahweh or Jehovah. Now, it's really cool because I love God does this. Jesus does this later in the Gospels, right? Moses asked God a question. He's like, God, I'm so unqualified. Why are you sending me? And God's like, well, it's not about you. It's about me. So why don't you just shut up for a minute, right? I can't go. Later on, he'll complain. He stutters too much. He can't speak. And God's like, Moses, here's what you need to know. I will be with you. That's all you really need to know. And Moses is like, right, but like when I go and I'm standing before a people and they ask me who sent me and they ask what your name is, what do I tell them? And God says, right, isn't it so God-like? He says, I am who I am. Kind of sounds like Popeye. I am who I am. Well, what does that mean? Here's what it means. This is so powerful. Here's what I am who I am means. It means to be. It means to be. In other words, and in Hebrew, they didn't have a present tense. This is actually how it translates. I was, I am, I will continue to be. I was, I am, I will continue to be. The very eternal essence of God is literally what his name means. Now, that's a good starting point. But here's where I want to get to as we get into the heart of the sermon is it's about a story. Like, your name is what it is, but ultimately who you are is unveiled by the events that unfold in your life. That's really who you are. That's what tells the whole story. And as you read all of God's word, and this is what I want to challenge you with. I want to plead with you on this. Read the whole Bible. It's not just about knowing the definition or the Hebrew word or this or that. Those are great. But read the Bible, because the Bible's narrative, the Bible's story tells us exactly who God is. The whole story is what reveals the nature of God. His nature is found in his name, and his name reveals the story of God and his people. So what I want to do is I want to use the name Jehovah or Yahweh, and I want to teach you guys five things that we can learn about this name that directly apply to you. This is not a history lesson. This is not a Bible lesson necessarily. This is about you and your life and your relationship with God, if you can connect deeply to this name. So the first thing you're going to find out is that God's name speaks of his power. Let's put that word powerful up there. It speaks of his power. Listen, the only person in the universe that can say, I am who I am, is God. Because he does not depend on anyone else for his existence. Did you know that? God, by being eternal, has no beginning and he has no end. He didn't ask anybody's opinion how he should be or how things should develop. He is just God all by himself. That's who God is. He's power. Come on. He created everything that we know by the spoken word. He just opened up his mouth and the universe came to be. That's power. He spoke and the heavens were born. He spoke and the earth was born. He spoke and human beings were born. He spoke and everything you know and everything you see about life is born. He doesn't depend on anyone, but everything and everyone depends on him. That's how powerful God is. But if you keep reading the story, especially in Exodus, and you read about the 10 plagues where God took down a superpower nation all by himself, and God parts a literal sea all by himself. Listen, this isn't fiction, guys. This isn't a fairy tale. This has actually happened, because the name Jehovah literally means power. And the same power that God has displayed throughout the ages is the same power that we can expect in our lives today. I mean, he has resurrecting power. How many have put their faith in Jesus Christ, his cross and his resurrection? Come on, somebody. You put your faith in the resurrection. Well, then you know that God is a God of power. He's got resurrecting power just like he's got creative power. How many know he's got redeeming power? Yeah, because once you were lost, but now you're found. You were a sinner, but now you are a saint. You are in the family of God. You're a child of God. You're chosen. You're blessed. And you know, it's all because God is a God of power. He's a God of power. So Jehovah speaks of God's power. It also speaks of God's eternal, well, we'll call it like this, God's being perpetual. I had to do all P's. I'm a preacher. You'll remember it better that way. But God being perpetual speaks about God being eternal. God has no beginning. God has no end. But I like to think of it this way. I was talking to somebody this week. I forget who I was talking to about this. And I said, you know, I'm so inconsistent when I think about my life as compared to God. Like, if I compare myself among people, I might go, yeah, I might be pretty faithful, pretty consistent. But when I'm thinking about my life measured up to God, I mean, I'm just a wretch. God is so consistent. And what I love about this feature of his name is that it means that we can depend upon him. It means that he's trustworthy. It means that who he was is who he is. It means that what he did is what he still does. And this is a real stumbling block for a lot of people, especially in this era of history, especially church people. Because we read these incredible, fantastic, amazing stories like God parting the Red Sea. And we're like, yeah, that was then. But God doesn't do that anymore. I haven't seen the Atlantic Ocean part recently. I haven't seen New Smyrna, you know, like. And we kind of chalk it up as, well, that's what God did then. But isn't really how God moves now? Is that really God now? And see, here's the thing. As a believer, You have to come to this conclusion. You're either going to believe how God reveals himself or you're not. And you're either going to go by what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell, and what you feel, or you're going to believe the Bible. And we want to be a people in this church, and we want to be representatives in this city who we just believe the Bible. And we're not submitting to rational experience. We're submitting to the truth of his word, a word that is revealing who he is and what he's like. God being consistent and God being faithful means God's going to be that for you. So just like Moses could step up to the most powerful person in the world and say, let my people go. How was he able to have the confidence and how was he able to have the boldness that he did it? Because he knew God. He knew his name. And when you and I get a hold of his name, I'm so excited for this series because you're going to learn about God fighting your battles. Jehovah Nissi. And you're going to learn about God being your provider, Jehovah Jireh. And when you, see, here's the thing. You can't worship what you don't know. You can sing about what you don't know, but you can't worship what you don't know. And that's what God's going to do. He's already doing it. He's pouring out revelation by way of his spirit into our lives so that we can learn about God personally and experientially. So that when you have a need, how many have a need? Put both hands up. We got needs, right? But you can have the confidence when you know he's provider, you can have the confidence to stare at that circumstance and go, I know my God's going to come through. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know he's going to come through because I know he's Jehovah Jireh. I've met him. I talked to him. He's revealed himself to me. What he was for Moses, he can be for me as well. He can be for me as well. When we face afflictions in our body or in our emotions or our mind, and we're looking at it instead of looking at him. And he's like, hey, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm the God who heals. I didn't just heal at one point in history and I don't anymore. No, I still heal. Would you believe me? Would you come to know me? So we worship what we know. The third thing is, and I'll go through these last few fairly quickly, is God is a God of perfection. His name, Jehovah, means perfection. And this kind of ties back into the whole being faithfully, eternal, perpetual, is that God is so perfect. He's so perfect. Everything God is, he's 100%. So he's not like 80% like good. No, he's 100% good. His attributes like don't contradict themselves. Like God at the same time could be merciful and just, and there's no contradiction. Like, that can't be me. Like, when I'm disciplining my child, I'm trying to show mercy, but at the same time, I'm not, right? I'm bringing forth judgment. But God somehow does it in a way where he weaves all of his attributes into all that he does. And so as you go on this relational journey of walking with God and learning about him and his word and listening to the sermons that are about to come forth, you're going to learn about all these different attributes of God. And here's the thing you can take to the bank. He's that way. He's that way in utter perfection. There's no loophole in the character and the identity of God. Fourth thing, God is personal. This might be the most meaningful for you. God comes to Moses, and we've already referred to it, but Moses is like, hey, I can't do this, God. You ever feel like you can't do what God's called you to do? Yeah. I heard our pastor talking about that this morning in Hope Culture. Just being transparent and vulnerable. We've all been there. Maybe even 5 minutes ago. And we come to God and we protest like Moses and we're like, God, look at me. You know me. I can't do this. And God says, Moses, Moses, Moses. worry about it, because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be the power you need. I'm going to be the resource you need. I'm going to be everything that you can depend upon to do it. All I need is your yes. All I need you to do is say yes. I think we can reduce all of life to simplicity by just saying this. Just say yes to God. Just say yes. Don't debate it. Don't rationalize it. Don't try to figure out. Just say yes to God. Because here's the thing. When you say yes, that promise of I will be with you just goes into motion. It just goes into motion. And look at what happened because Moses said yes. 2 to 3 million people or so got delivered, got rescued. Because one 80-year-old fugitive shepherd, whose life was pretty much over at that point, had been a perpetual train wreck, eventually, after a lot of, you know, competing with God, he says, all right, God, I give in. I'll do it. How many people's lives were transformed and changed because one person said yes? And I'm thinking about all of you guys in this room. And I don't know the assignment on your life. I don't know the specific task upon your life. But I know this, there is one. And I know that on the other side of your yes, this is what I know. On the other side of your yes is lives that can be transformed. It's eternities that can be shifted from separated from God in all of eternity to forever with Yahweh. Last thing, God is a God of partnership. I don't know why God does what he does the way he does it, but this is the way he does it. He's always done it this way. God says to Israel, he says, I've seen your groanings, I've seen your sufferings, I've heard it, it's come up before my ears. I'm going to rescue you now. And so if I were God, I'd be like, okay, I get my lawn chair out, kick my feet up and go, okay, God, let's see how you do it. It's probably what Moses was thinking. But instead of God just coming down and just wiping out the Egyptians, you know what he does? He uses a person. He uses Moses. Every single time God does anything on the earth, he's going to use people. He's going to use people like you because that's how God is. God is relational and personal, but he's also into partnership. He shares his authority with people like you and me. Why? I don't know. But that's what he does, and that's what he's always done, and that's what he'll always do. And so I want you to embrace this reality. God wants to use me. The name Jehovah literally expresses the truth that God wants to use you, and he wants to use me. And that's just the end of the story. Amen? Can you guys, everybody get communion? A communion? If you didn't get communion, just raise your hand, and we'll make sure that you get one. But if you have communion, I want you to stand to your feet this morning, and I want you to take out your communion elements. Because I got one more P for you. Is that okay? I got one more P for you. Yeah, yeah. I think this could be the most significant P of them all. Because God is powerful, God is perpetual, God is perfect, God is personal, and God is a God of partnership. But you know what else? God is a God of promise. God is a God of promise. And get used to this word because you see it all the time in the Bible. The word covenant. The word covenant. When God makes a covenant with a person, an individual, or a people, he releases promises to them. And when God makes a promise, God's going to be faithful to that promise. 400 years before he freed the Israelites, you know what he did? He made a promise to a man named Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great name. I'm going to make you a great nation, and you're going to be a father of multitudes, and you're going to live in this land. Abraham never actually saw that come to pass, but you know what happened? 400 years later, it came to pass. Because God is faithful to his promise, and he's faithful to his covenant. You know, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden centuries earlier, it looked like the human project was over. It looked like there was no hope for humans. But God made a promise in the garden. He said, don't worry. I'm going to take care of this whole deal in due time. Because I'm going to send my son, I'm going to send the seed of a woman to crush the head of the serpent. And you know what happened? Probably 4,000 or 5,000 years later, there showed up on the shores of Galilee a man named Jesus of Nazareth. You know why? Because God is a God of promise. So let's take this, the elements of communion in your hand, and let's raise it up to a God who is faithful to his promise, to a God who will never, ever lie, to a God you can trust in, to a God when he said, I'll forgive you your sins if you call on the name of Jesus, he will forgive. When he said, I'll redeem you from all of life's curses and all of life's destructions by the shed blood of my son, he'll do it. He did it, and this is what we're holding in our hands. The remembrance of God is a God of promise. Jesus, thank you that we can trust you, that your character is tried and it's true, it's tested and it's been found faithful. And we remember that for our lives today as followers of yours, that you began a good work in us and you will complete it until the day that you bring us home. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Go ahead and take that. And of course, part of that promise, maybe the most important part of that promise, was the blood that was shed, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So you're standing here today as a child of God because your sins have been forgiven. And it might not have costed you anything, but it cost Jesus everything. Can we just take a moment and just thank God for his grace? Thank God for his grace. Just begin to say it right where you're at. Just begin to talk to him and say, God, I'm so thankful that you saved a wretchful sinner like me. Thank you for how the blood covers all of my life, not only in the things that I've done in the past, but in the things I'll do in the future. Your blood has made me whole. And for that, I'm forever thankful. In Jesus' name. Come on, we serve a mighty God, amen?
Let's sing. Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.